Okay, we'll call the annual charter commission meeting to order. Can I have a motion to approve amend December 3rd, 2018 meeting reports?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Frank. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Dan. Thank you. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Before we start, I think I'm gonna have Corky kind of give us the 101 on home rule charter and statutory city.
Okay. Crookston operates as a charter rule city. There are two possible city compositions in the state of Minnesota. One is statutory city, which is governed by Minnesota state statutes. Second is charter city. Cities can choose which they want to be. Crookston has a long history of being a charter city, which means the city of Crookston sets the charters, like a constitution. Basically establishes how the city will be governed, and the provisions are only able to be changed, amended, deleted by the actions of a charter commission, which all of you are members of that commission. So it is a bit different. Minnesota state statutes do not necessarily apply to the city of Crookston in some instances. City of Crookston has this charter. I think the last time it was amended or changed was 1999, if I'm not mistaken, so it's been about 20 years. So the deliberative process is you, as members of the commission, meet if there are any proposals or any recommendations regarding amendments to the charter. They should be considered by you as charter commission members. Any questions? That's a brief summary of it. That's why you're here, to discuss whether there should be any changes, and if so, what, and why.
And the procedure from this commission then goes to the city council?
Yep, goes to the city council. Well, there are five different ways it can be approved. One is to go to the council for a recommendation. Two can go to the voters. If the voters don't like the recommendation of this commission, they can petition with a certain percentage of voters in the last election to change the procedure to a vote. But there are five different methods by which the approval can happen. I believe all the city council members, city administrator, financial advisor have a copy of that memo. I don't have it committed to memory because it is quite lengthy, but there are various procedures for a proposal to amend the charter to be ratified.
But after amending, say they change something, and it goes to the council or the voters, there's still some more steps. It's got to be approved by St. Paul or somewhere.
It has to be submitted to the state, but I don't want to say it's just a form, but
and normally, that's a lengthy process.
Can be very much a lengthy process. Can take a number of months. I don't want to speak for them, but it can take a number of months for that to happen.
All right. Well, we'll go to other. I know what's been kicking around as far as beyond vacancies. The way I read it, the council may by resolution, a majority of vote of five council members and four council members and the mayor or assistant mayor. I'm sorry, that's page two, section 205. You need a book, Chris?
Yes.
Okay, I got that part.
Oh, get that sticky off.
Four council members and the mayor or assistant mayor, in event of a tie, declare a vacancy to exist, may appoint an eligible person to fill the vacancy for the remainder of the unexpired term.
And that vacancy has already been declared?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So the issue that's coming before the con, or for council, is they think majority rules. They would like to see, because it was a 4-2 vote, that on this situation it should only take, I mean, it was approved to be sitting in the council chair 4-2 in the vote, so basically majority rules. So instead, that way, but there, the way it reads, we need 5 votes to seat that person in a council chair. And they're looking to possibly change this somehow. But I think that would affect all our resolutions then.
Well, it depends. I mean, each section is an entity unto itself. If this were to be changed to a majority, there are other sections within the charter that require a 5 votes approval by the council. So to be consistent, you'd have to look at that as well. It changed to 4. You don't have to. I mean, each section stands alone. You can change 1, both, none. And that, again, has to be submitted through the process, certainly. But they, in some senses, they dovetail one another.
Could you keep it to the 5 votes for the full council? And if you're short, have a, is that not possible? Or have a majority if it's not a full council?
I'm not saying it's impossible, but it would be difficult because you can't anticipate every possible situation that might come up.
Sure.
This is a very unique situation for Crookston. I've looked through Chuck Fitzgerald's file, and this is a unique situation. You don't often see one vacancy, let alone 2. And that's the question you may have to ask yourselves. You know, do you want to change it for this unique situation, or do you want to keep it as it is? And maybe you want to think about this, you know. There is a remedy available as it stands now. There is the possibility in section 5.02 to have a special election for one or more of those positions, whether it be mayor, whether it be, I believe, Ward 6, alderperson or representative, and depending on how you structure it, you could have an election for mayor, Ward 6, one or the other both.
See, but back to the vacancy, my question would be too is, okay, let's say it was a majority of rules without the 5 votes set someone in Ward 6 or any other ward came up again. But now we have a mayor vacancy too. Would that be majority rules or would you need the 5 votes?
You know, that would be, you know, if you had a tie, then the mayor could choose to cast that vote. But if you didn't cast or abstain, where are you? We can't, I mean, like in answer to Chris's question, there are endless number of possibilities, endless.
There's no silver bullet.
There is no silver bullet.
Otherwise,
this is a very, it would have been shocked, yeah. But it's a very, very unique situation, you know. There are a whole bunch of different remedies possible. You know, people change their votes. That's a possibility. They go to an alternate person. That's a possibility. To have a special election for just that position. Possibility.
Well, like you said, Corky, it's real unique. And I hate seeing changing rules for unique situations. In fact, this is unique in another way, I think, because we've got 2 positions open for over 3 years. I think I'd rather see go towards a special election rather than giving, you know, a fewer number on the council authority to select someone. I think that's a step in the wrong direction myself. I know a special election is expensive, but maybe that's the best way to go.
It seemed to work well for the school board. But they're special. Obviously, they had a referendum coming up, too, so it went hand in hand. But I think it's better to have the public vote.
Yes. And just so you know, our office did craft a memo. I believe all the council members got it. And the city administrator, I believe the finance director also, indicating that it's our opinion, and we believe that the charter allows for a special election. To me, it's clear. You got it both in 2.05, where it says that the council may appoint. Doesn't say shall, says may. And then in 5.02, I believe then it allows that there can be 4.02, that there can be all means necessary to have that special election to conform nearly as possible to the prescribed for other city elections. Can have that. I believe, so you all know, I believe there was an estimate, depending on the number of offices up for election, it could cost anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 as a rough estimate for that special election for the one position.
It would cost more if there were more positions.
I believe it would.
It would. The variance is whether it's Ward 6 versus the mayor's spot. Ward 6 possibly could be opened up just to the Ward 6 community members. But if it's the mayor, it has to be the entire city. So then we're opening both polling locations. And we have to pay for additional rental of the electronic equipment from the county.
Do you have to do the additional polling or voting spots, or can you do like the school district where they have one assigned? Do you know?
If it would be Ward 6, we would do it in the one location,
right,
but if it's the mayor, it would have to be both, because that's our designated polling place, which is set every year.
Okay. Could you pass a resolution like the school board did to have one, for a special election, have one polling place? Because they just passed that, and they're going to do it every year now, just in case there's a special election.
I will have to check with Michelle Cody, because I know I can only do it on certain days of the year as it is already.
Yeah.
So I would have to ask because I don't know if I can, because I have to notify every registered voter in that of the alternate location,
sure.
Which is why usually you just have to do the one place that it, where they currently always go.
See, and then let's say we did have a special election. How far out would it be? I mean, there'd be so many weeks for filing to run. How much time do you give them to campaign? And then you need to.
And it needs to be fit in to certain time slots prescribed
right.
by law.
You couldn't do it at the same time because the primary is in Feb.
The presidential primary is in March.
March, so you can't do it at the same time as the primary.
You know, you would have to figure out a time frame, because if you don't want to do it if it's less than a year, obviously. So it'd have to be.
That would have to all be coordinated. Angel has kind of the slots that it would be available for the city to hold either a single, you know, ward election or a mayoral election. But it does fit time parameters. It's not just, let's have an election.
So yeah, because the other thing is, how close would that be getting to the general election coming in 2020?
Mm-hmm. So it's not as easy as it may seem.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, on its face, it says hold a special election if you choose to.
And what kind of a workload do you have when you do an election as far as staff and facilities? Is it a ton of work to do that, Angel, or is it?
Yeah, because you have to find election judges that are willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that part is actually getting harder now, too. The March one, I haven't quite figured out yet myself, because we have most of our election judges are not most, but a lot of them are. So some of them would probably be back for an election later, but I guess the only time that really was fitting in, really, it's going to be very difficult to get someone to do and campaign because of the timing of it all.
As a member, I'm not against an election, but I know the difficulties. I think we talked about this a little bit last year about maybe doing this and the difficulty of, not just the cost, but the difficulty for staff to make this fit and make it go. But again, I'm not against an election. I think it's important that people speak.
This is the third opening we've had in the last, what, 4 years? 3 years?
Gary Wilhite was elected county commissioner.
Right. Then Wayne came in.
And then Wayne came in.
That was by council vote.
Yeah.
Cindy left because she was ineligible. She's out of town. I don't know about a third one.
Oh, that would be.
That would have been when.
Who moved?
With the mayor. Okay.
Well, Maine.
The mayor. Yeah.
Maine's council position came over when he moved to mayor.
Yeah.
Right?
But they didn't
leave.
Or did he do it at the election?
He did. He wasn't running for another term. He went for county commissioner.
I just think you're seeing that.
Who would Guy Martin? Clayton was appointed. I can't remember how that worked.
So it's really more common than, as far as trying to fill a spot than.
Clayton did it by
only recently, though.
Yeah,
last 5 years. Years without ever having to fill a position.
Yeah, you know the history. I mean, we probably still the last 4 or 5 years, there never was one. Either their position was filled by council vote, mm-hmm. or we didn't have them.
Or it was close enough to the general. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I'd be opposed to changing the charter, mainly because I think this is meant to be somewhat about a supermajority. And there's a reason, I think, for doing that. You don't want to make it real easy, mm-hmm. and so I think it should just stay the way it is, as far as the charter goes.
What would happen, Corky, if two council members were gone now, let's say, in a meeting? What would happen then? No business can be done on that meeting then? It's just basically. So he's kind of had a standstill until.
Well, if you had six were gone, you'd have a total of 4 left.
Right.
And essentially, you could make recommendations, but you couldn't pass anything. Right. Which is, you know, all the more reason at that point you'd either have a special election. You couldn't get even an appointment.
Right. You can't even vote for a special election because you don't have 5 votes to have.
Well, the charter, I think, allows for that. I think in this particular situation, the charter says you may have a special election.
You'd still have to pass that.
I think you needed it.
Well,
by resolution.
By resolution. You know, I don't think that the statutory city language takes over. I can't tell you, here, it'll work perfectly. I can't tell you that.
It is a very unique situation. I'm just saying I'm very concerned if, you know, a person falls ill, another person moves out for whatever reason or whatever, then you're down and find it hard to believe that a city can just shut down then, you know what I mean?
Well, I think, and this is just me, you can make an emergency charter commission at that point, and or we contact the attorney general for advice. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
For temporary.
But we're not there, thank goodness.
Right, but it's not to say it's completely unrealistic two people can attend a meeting.
Well, then, if in your situation, what would you do if there was a 4-to-1?
Right. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you the answer to that question.
What does this, like a statutory B city, what language does it use when there are vacancies?
I don't know. I frankly haven't looked at that because we've always been a charter city.
Right.
I don't know.
I think that one says it recalculates when there is a vacancy and then does the majority at that time, which would then reset it. So,
but we're not.
And I get that, but I'm just saying that there's a reason why I think they put that language in there. So
there is because there are much smaller cities that have 4 council people, 3, not a charter city, and not 8.
So part of the problem is the time frame to get. For a special election to get someone in place. I'm just wondering if there isn't some leeway there. And Corky, a question to you in section 4.04, procedure at elections. It says, subject to this charter and applicable state laws, the council may by ordinance further regulate the conduct of municipal elections.
Sure, I mean, but subject to state law, if state law would permit that, the council could, you know, act differently to set that. I don't know the statutes that govern that, but Angel may be more familiar with that.
The biggest one they're getting at is that, like, the next available election for us would, I believe, be May 4th or 11th or something like that. It's a, there's a specific day in May. Then we're not eligible until August and then November. That's, because those are uniform election dates that we're allowed to hold an election. So I, we can kind of do the process and then say on May, sorry, I don't remember the date. I haven't written down upstairs. Like May 5th, we can have the election. So you can change the ordinance and have an election on that day, a special election.
You know, if you have five council members that agree to do that, if that's the particular time frame, you can do that.
Then you want to spend $20,000 to $30,000 when you have an election for less cost 6 months from then.
Corky, does that run in, like, if you do have election for this particular situation, for future issues that we may have, say, one council member, it's only a year thing. Once you have election, you have election for all of them, so...
No, it says May.
May.
It is giving the council the discretion to decide if the circumstances necessitate a special election. It does not bind any future councils because in each provision it says May. It's permissive. I mean, this is a unique situation.
You know how on school boards, when you're filling a position, then when the next election comes up, you have to run. You can't be appointed beyond that date. So if the city council appointed somebody until the general election, would they have to run it? I mean, they'd have to run for that position then? Is that how it
works? When the term expires.
When the term expires.
So you're appointed to fulfill term that has been vacated.
Okay.
So it's not required that you run in the next city council election.
Yeah, because I kind of agree with you. But 3 years is a long time for an appointment. That's difficult.
Mayor Stenberg, at our last time when Wayne was put in, then we were told by Chuck that we could not have a special election. He said the charter hasn't changed. And we talked about that several different times, and we were always told we could not have a special election to fill that vacancy. So I don't know why is it changing now?
You want the diplomatic answer or the straightforward answer?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It kind of seems like opinions here rather than what way is it?
Well, I'll tell you the way it is. May. I don't know.
It was brought up May.
Yeah. Wasn't Wayne filling somebody's term, though, so then it would expire at the term?
No.
And again,
you filled out a 2-year term because Mayor Wilson was appointed to the county commissioners.
So that supersedes.
I believe, as my memo indicated, I think you've gotten it all.
Yep.
May is permissive. And in this particular case, I believe May is a practical answer for the situation you're in as well. Something's got to be done.
Well, I was looking through the League of Minnesota handbook last night until about 2 this morning, and there's a saving in section 410.33, there's a savings clause where it says that the city charter is silent on a matter that is addressed to statutory cities in chapter 412 or other general law. The general law does not prohibit the city charter from addressing the matter or expressly provide that a city charter prevails over general law on the matter, then the city may apply general law on the matter. Well, on this situation, our charter speaks of the vacancy. It doesn't speak of multiple vacancies. So there, to me, the charter is silent on multiple vacancies.
Couldn't disagree with you more.
Okay.
It says may, and it doesn't specify the number.
So then if you go in chapter 6, page 8 of the Minnesota State Handbook, it says, let's see here, state law provides the statutory, this is now statutory, that we're dealing with now because the charter is silent. State law provides statutory city council may appoint to fill the vacancy, except in the case of a tie. Tie vote when the mayor makes the appointment. That means all members of the council, including the mayor, can vote on the appointment, as long as at least a quorum of the council is present. A majority vote of those present is sufficient to make the appointment. So that's where I've always felt when we made that vote to 4-2, the majority should have won in this year, or we should have went by that rather than minority.
But our charter doesn't read it like that.
No, but it's silent. It doesn't say anything.
It's not silent. It is not silent. It says you may do it. That's not being silent, in my opinion. That's saying you may declare a vacancy, which you've done. You may hold, you may appoint by 5 members. You don't have that.
Right.
You may have a special election. That's not silent.
That's what we were told last time, that it says may, we either may appoint or leave it open. We could not have the election. And that was by Chuck.
Again, I'm telling you my opinion. I don't believe that that is accurate.
There doesn't seem to be a law on this. It's just whoever's opinion we want to go by.
What? No, not you go by what's written. The charter.
Yeah.
Well, we've had 2 different answers now in 3 years, and I think that's a dangerous thing when you have a charter and you get 2 different answers in 3 years.
Well, that's certainly your opinion.
Right.
Well, Chuck said last year we could have a special election, didn't he, for everybody that was on the board? I could have swore we were talking about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what I heard.
He told us 3 years ago during the appointment of Wayne that a special election is not possible.
Was it due to a timing thing, though, or was it
just... No, it's just that he said that basically the vacancy under there, it said either you may appoint or you leave it open. It's got to be one or the other. And then we brought up the special election that said the city council can hold it, and he says no. That doesn't clarify the vacancy part. That's just for other things. So I'm just saying, as a charter commission, I'd be a little concerned that, you know, when we get difference of opinions in a 3-year period, it's kind of a... I think you got to have a more well-written charter, you know, for these situations, that it's not opinion. It should be pretty straightforward. I agree with Tom. I read that it's a vacancy. It's addressing that 5 vote based on a vacancy. I don't think anywhere in the charter it tells you of multiple vacancies. It would say in a case of multiple vacancies. So I actually do agree with Tom. I think it just says what you do in a case of a vacancy and not multiple.
Well, vacancies. You can change the charter to shall.
The biggest problem is right now we have a 6-member council. So even with a tie, there is no way we can get the tie. Why get a 4? With the mayor breaking the tie.
But if you get the right candidate, can't you get 5 votes?
Maybe, maybe not.
It just seems to me that if you appointed someone that... If this is if you're hung up on this particular individual, try appointing someone else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was brought around to where we'd run the same process we did. Have 7 or 9 community members from Ward 6, and they interview the candidates. They pick the candidate. And the council takes their recommendation. Or you get as many people down here as possible from Ward 6. They vote for the candidates. Here's your mini election. That person is seated. I don't know if you can do that by law.
For whatever it's worth, my opinion is no.
You can't, like, even, can't do that in a statutory
city. Yeah, their theory's good.
So is the theory that a hummingbird can't fly.
Well, I think, you know, this thing is wanting five votes.
You know, well,
I think if you can't get five votes, get a candidate that you can get five votes.
I just feel that if we change this to where you only need majority for the four votes to put this person in a council seat, and I think you're rolling the dice on any other resolution you want to pass because we need five votes with a majority of our resolutions. You need five votes.
Based on my history, I think that was based on you have an 8-member council.
Yep.
And so when you start getting down into, say, only 4 show up that night and you take a majority of 3 people making the decision out of your 8.
You can bring up the votes.
Frank, were you here when we did the charter? Was anyone here?
Yeah, I was here, but I wasn't on the charter
committee. Okay. I mean, that's my recollection from the time is why that 5 came into play, because it's a majority of your council, your seated council, and you start whittling away at that. And
in reviewing these notes from previous charter commission, there were some notes indicating the thought was that if you need 5, you're going to force or encourage a consensus on the council before you moved to a special election, to get a candidate that 5 could agree on. That's the theory behind it. And other than this unique situation, that has happened.
Right, I don't think you'd ever want to change it where if you just had 4 people or 5 people show up to the meeting, then that quorum would switch there for resolutions or whatever. I just think somewhere maybe it just needs to say something in the, that there's multi vacancies, then that number needs to be reduced, you know, and factored in what the majority is at that time. Just during that process, not who shows up to meetings, but when there's actually vacancies that exist.
Yes, it is.
I mean, the title of the thing is vacancies, which is a plural. It doesn't mean vacant. To me, it's, and then further on it says in each such case, so it's again talking about different scenarios that could potentially happen. I mean, I don't.
It doesn't say vacancy. It says vacancy. That may address Tom's concern.
What does it say as you move along the line? The top says vacancies, because that's all that's going to be. And the bottom, does it say vacancies in there too, or does it say in the case of the vacancy?
Well, it says in each such case.
In each such case, you may fill the vacancy for the remainder of the unexpired term.
Even if there's a 4-4 tie, that's why you have the 5, because then the mayor votes and that's the 5th vote.
Correct.
But if you have a vacancy, you're not going to have to worry about that. So if it's 3-3 and the mayor votes, still that doesn't matter?
That does not matter.
No.
Still need 5.
See, that's why I said there's no way we can get 5 votes right now with the mayor breaking the tie. Why get a 4? We don't have 6 councils.
Well, you do have other potential remedies. You do have that, as Frank Lindgren said, you may address a different candidate. 2, you can leave it go. 3, you can have a special election. Any one of those is a potential solution.
Do you think it'd be worthwhile to put in there during the vacancy part, though, where, say, may appoint, may leave open, or may call for a special election, you know, by resolution, just so.
I think this is clear enough without that language, because it's a may.
And I don't disagree. I'm just saying, you know, I don't want to keep on going that there's been 2 opinions now in 3 years, but, you know, let's say when you retire, whenever, and then there's the next person, are they going to come in now and say, no, you can't, depending on.
So you're assuming I'm going to retire. Well, that's an assumption. No, I may retire.
I'm just saying, since we're here, we're discussing. Yes.
I don't think it adds anything, quite frankly.
Okay.
I don't think it adds anything at all, because this is it's permissive.
Right, and I think your memo will carry weight in that next situation, too, saying that their memo does exist, that it has been already said that you can, you know. But, so I'm not saying you do, but
Excuse me, go ahead.
No,
I did look for a memo, didn't find one, to see the rationale. I don't know the unique circumstances that were going on then. Is it a difference because it's a mayor? I don't think so, but I don't know.
Like I said, my worry about that too is, you know, like if that was Chuck's opinion, or this is your opinion, and the next lawyer's opinion, what's that one going to be?
Well, there's only two. There can't be a third opinion. Well, there can only be two.
When you're gone, and then the next lawyer, I mean, what's his opinion going to be? There's nothing spelled out in there.
I don't think you can spell out every situation. I can't say that's a fact, but...
That's usually what policies and guidelines are for, to be, have that openness to...
That's why it's worded the way it is.
Yeah.
For flexibility.
Did you say there was something that was in the file that said that Chuck said that there was, that you couldn't...
I don't see a memo, but that's my understanding, that was the opinion at that time, given those circumstances, and I don't know what those were.
I don't know if I was in the meeting that's being referred to, but it seems to me that what I heard was that he didn't discourage, or he didn't say you couldn't have it, but he just said the costs were prohibitive for having it. And I thought that's what he said, but it may be that I wasn't in that meeting that you're talking about.
He sat right over there in the chair when I asked the question, and I had followed him once before too, and
I don't know. I find that I don't remember, but if it's clear in the charter, I don't know why he would say that.
And that's why I question if it was a timing, like you can't have one because.
Or was he referring to something else? Because I mean, you cannot have a special election to decide an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's pretty well known. So I mean, I don't know, because it's considered an indiscriminate use of public funds or something. Or frivolous.
It can't ask for advisory opinions from the public.
Exactly. So you can't hold special elections for
to
that,
tell
for
us
that
what
purpose.
To do on right. this thing.
But this seems pretty clear to me. I mean,
while we discussed this quite lengthy, I guess what's on the vacancy issue is to have a vote on changing or leave as is.
I don't think we have to vote to leave it, though, do we?
It would require a motion to affirmatively alter this.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And a second and a vote to make that recommendation. So you don't have to make a motion to keep it the way it is.
Right.
Then it would take 5 votes on the council to make sure it's changed.
Well, that's one of the many. There's 5 possible ways to alter it. Simply not recommendation, council vote, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll ask for a motion to alter the language in the vacancy. Is that what I'm looking at?
Yeah, you want to make a... I mean, if there is a motion, you want to make a motion to, and you construct it the way you or whoever makes the motion believes it should be constructed.
What do you said?
Well, do you want to make a motion that...
Does anyone here at the table want to make a motion to amend this... Charter.
And if so, what's your
then
motion?
They need to spell out what that motion is.
Hearing none, stay as is. All right, moving forward, anything else catching your eye in here?
I just have a quick question. It's not as important as elections and all that, but... Page 14, where it talks about bonds for the city administrator, does that really happen, or is it taken care of by insurance? Because I find it hard to believe that. I mean, I think they're bonded, but I think by the city, or you know, or they're using the insurance policy, their crime policy to cover it, or whatever. I don't think that person individually is securing that surety bond.
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, and so I don't know if that. I don't know how you take that out or what you do, but, you know, because it said it should be filed with the city clerk.
Well, does that mean they are able to be bonded? Because does it I mean, they should be able to be bonded.
Well, they should be, but it's kind of giving the impression that in addition to the employment, they, you know, they're providing that bond to the city.
I mean, historically, and
maybe a long time ago, I don't know.
They didn't provide their own bond. We never provided our own bond. So we're bonded.
I understand.
Yes, okay.
I'm just saying.
I think, yeah.
I understand that you have to be bonded and all that, and that's the right thing. And I also think that, you know, under the property casualty, the crime insurance would cover that. But I'm just saying, I don't think the wording here is right, that the person, the city administrator, whoever's an officer, provides a bond to the city to hold the city harmless.
And I suspect you could change that to give a corporate surety bond or an alternative insurance coverage.
Right, yeah, I mean, just some addition or something that takes it off, because when you're reading this, you're assuming that the city administrator is providing, and what if they're not? Maybe it's not a big deal, I don't know.
Well, I haven't been looking at that section.
It's just that it just seems not, you know, like it should be worded differently. And again, you know, they should be bonded, but who's providing the bond? And I think the employer's providing the bond. It's not the employee providing.
Just adding the language at the employer's expense or at the city's expense. I mean, that's the way it always was when I was a city administrator. The bond was paid for by the city.
Yeah, I understand that if you're doing it that way or however you're covering it.
But the language should reflect that.
Yeah, but here it kind of gives the impression that the employee is providing this commission, so.
I should have said shall be.
Whatever it be, that be provided by the city, not the.
Shall be bonded or insured.
Right, by the city.
By the city.
Yeah.
So would this have to be done by you, of course, change the wording? I mean.
Well, you're amending the charter, so you gotta go through it.
You gotta go through the process.
Okay.
You don't necessarily need an election, what you're saying, right?
Not necessarily.
It could be passed by two-thirds of the charter, the council, and then we can pass it through an ordinance.
Right, and then I believe if it's 5% of the number of voters in the last election, if they bring a petition forward to hold an election, then you gotta hold an election.
Something like that. I don't see that guarding 5% of the voters to sit there and say, you're cleaning up language, we want us to election.
I think that's accurate, but who knows? But it has worked effectively, however it is now. I'm sure there's insurance coverage for every official.
Yeah.
Is that accurate, Angel?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Up to extra.
I was going to say it exceeds the statutory requirement because we're a charter city, so we have to do it a little bit differently.
There is an extra amount, and for full disclosure, there's an extra amount on the because I don't have.
Chuck, I got a question. So, in the charter, it says that.
Chuck's okay.
Don't worry, I got a question.
Yeah, that's fine. I knew what you were talking to.
In the charter, it says about emergencies require 7 votes.
What page are you on?
Page 4.
In what section?
307.
There you go.
Yep.
Can we make that an ordinance like?
We did during the flood.
Are you saying that this is an emergency?
I'm just saying it takes 7 votes.
If it requires 7 and we're at 6, we wouldn't be able to at this moment in time. And grant, we all agree this is unique, but do we ever want to put ourselves in a situation where there is an emergency and we can't?
I can't tell you, but I got to tell you, if there's an emergency flood, they're going to throw sandbags and get out there. You know that, and I know that. I think this is speaking to something different, but I get what you're saying. In an emergency, if it meets the criteria, you need 7 council members. Mm-hmm. Do you want to change that? same process. And it's been 20 years, so.
I'm saying if you're gonna change it anyways, you know, the charter should at least, commission should at least consider that this could be a situation where there's six, and then if we would have to pass something, and I don't know what the reason would be, if it, even reimbursement from the state or whatever the situation could arise, we wouldn't be able to get reimbursed or, you know.
That's where we meet, like, wouldn't it be, just if we had.
You can't.
It's emergency.
But you wouldn't be able to appoint to the situation.
It would take a while to get it formalized and.
So what's the definition of an emergency ordinance for what types of things?
Well, typically it's been in the flood situation where there's a declaration of an emergency for the flood.
Or a tornado came through, or, so basically, I think, you have our emergency declaration, so that way you can get help from either FEMA or the state of Minnesota or other financial.
Or if you find yourself in a situation where there's something in the ordinance isn't addressing it properly or needs to be addressed properly, you can pass an emergency ordinance. The only time I remember doing any of them was during the flood, not only others that were done.
But yeah, why would it have to be called an emergency?
I don't recall.
I mean, couldn't it be done just as a regular ordinance? Where there takes five?
Well, don't you have to have publication and such? And
well, I think the only one I remember is
trying to dust off the cobwebs.
Back when I first got on council, we had an emergency special council meeting to declare an emergency.
Yeah, no, but I think the point raised here is that it takes seven.
Yes.
That's the point being raised. And I understand what you're saying. That may as well be an impetus to get this done with council
right.
members.
Right.
However that's done.
With Dale?
If you were going to have an emergency, if it was an emergency situation, I don't know if you really want a number on there. I think it should be a majority of the council if you have at the time. Because, you know,
well, to me, the reason for an emergency ordinance or to do an emergency ordinance is to preclude the requirement of having two readings. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe there is a way around it if, depending on how major of an emergency it is or what type of emergency it is, there might be time to, you know, take care of it. But I agree with Corky. I mean, this should be an impetus to get people in place. I mean, hopefully we don't have an emergency, but, you know, hope only goes so far. But it should be another reason for people either to step up and offer to serve on the council and, you know, to get it resolved. I think that's the way it needs to be addressed, not to back off on the requirements.
Well, that's why I brought it up. I mean, because it could turn around and bite us in the butt, too, if something happened. They said, well, how come the seven guys didn't declare an emergency or whatever? There's only four or five yet that look at that scenario. Just saying, train wreck, gas explosion, anhydrous leak.
The practical matter of this, though, is if there's a true emergency, city staff will respond with or without a declaration. The declaration is for reimbursements, that sort of thing, but we're going to respond when there's an emergency, with or without a declaration.
I think in a lot of cases, you know, resolutions, ordinances, and specifically emergency ordinances, there's a reason that you need a supermajority. It's that important. That they want unanimous, the expectation. Now, I came from charter cities, Ada was a charter city, and Red Lake Falls and Bayport were statutory cities. But the state law reads the same. It's 75%, you know, or two-thirds. It's a supermajority to get ordinances passed. And I think it's just because they're that important. You know, it's rather than just saying yes or no on regular business of the city, it's more important. It's a law. So I think that's That's why it's required.
The other thing is, there could be something written in there, couldn't there, and I know that both changing it, but just saying, or 100% of council of less than 8 current members.
I mean, this is a charter.
I agree.
It's supposed to be breathable, flexible, as it exists, and if it's going to be changed, that's a bigger deal. Yes, it could be changed.
I agree with Blank. I think it gives teeth to getting these positions filled. So if you have this, and I think you keep backing this stuff away, it's less...
It's a dangerous road to go down. I agree.
Let's say this doesn't, we don't have any of the openings filled by March, and chances are it's going to flood. How bad, we don't know yet. Can Dale step down from being mayor, go back to the city council spot and vote?
Need a mayor.
Need a mayor.
Can we appoint somebody for a day?
Yes, you can. You can appoint.
Okay.
The council could say, we want Jane Smith, come and fill the mayor's role.
You can't appoint him for the day. You're
no, but you have to appoint him for the unexpired term. But
so
you could just say, think that whoever should be the mayor. If somebody steps up and says, you got it, I will do this for this period of time, and only this period of time, or you can absolutely do that if 5 people agree.
Okay. So there's kind of an escape clause for the 7. You know, I understand both sides of this. But if, you know, if we are sitting here in March or April and we got a flood situation, and we're in the same pickle we are right now with only 6 councilmen, we can't pass some of the needed stuff.
And again, I don't know the practicalities, but I have to believe that no one in this town is going to sit on their hands.
No, I agree.
And not sandbag. And if this is what it says, and this may very well be just for the applying for FEMA money, state money.
And I'm not sure, no offense, I'm not sure what ordinance we would be changing, because we do a resolution to declare an emergency for funding. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily, I'm not sure what instance it would be an ordinance change, because that's changing the city code. So I'm not sure what that part would be. We declare by resolution an emergency for the floods. I don't know, I haven't seen an emergency ordinance in any way.
So what we keep coming back to is this filthy spot.
What's that?
Much. Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And it's never a good time, in my opinion, to make changes to something. And maybe someone said this earlier, when you're in the heat of a situation, mm-hmm. You should have your rules how you think they should be, and there's always going to be unique things that you can't think of every possible scenario, and you can't address every possible scenario. And I think the group back in the day did the best they could thinking of, you know, and but yet making it strong enough to secure the city of Crookston. And so when you have a situation, to me the answer isn't to change the rules, it's to, you know, move forward and fix what this situation is, and it's fixable. I mean,
and you don't want to make it easier to pass.
Right.
For many reasons.
With the census upcoming, are we expecting some redistricting?
The census is April 1st. It has to be to the president at the end of 2020, and it should be to the state, I believe it's by the June 30th. Of 2021, otherwise it will be December of 2021. I don't remember exactly when the state gets it, and but I believe it's June 2021. And then we're supposed to get it right after that, because then our lines may have to be redistricted, depending on the population, where everybody's located.
For like 2022 then?
Yeah. Either that or late 2021. It just depends. I don't remember the exact date of when the state's going to get that. But the president is definitely the end of 2020. And then it starts filtering down to all the state and municipalities.
So the only thing we're gonna do some rewording is on section 1103, page 14, the official bond, is that what we're looking at?
11.03?
Yeah, just to change the wording a little bit. And I need a motion on that one.
I mean, it's completely up to you, but you have to have a motion with language. You may want to direct the office to create language and come back for another meeting and just say, here's the proposed. I mean, disseminate it prior to the meeting, saying, here's what you have asked us to do, is this acceptable?
I'll make a motion, but I don't know what the wording is, other than the city is the responsible party, not the individual, right?
At this point, would we direct?
Well.
I mean, it's up to you guys how you wanna do it.
To devise language to reflect what you're.
You draft.
Yes, we would draft proposed language for you all to see, review, let the council review it, and then decide, is that what you're recommending? Go to the council, if they accept it.
Well, because that's really what's happening, right? I mean, it's the city that's providing.
Draft some language and bring it back to another meeting.
I don't think you need them.
I see, you need a motion?
No.
You just fix it.
Fix it.
Then we.
No more fix.
Well, then we vote on the proposed.
Because all it's saying would be the employer's expense or the city's.
Yeah, it's providing, rather than what it's indicating.
Right. Okay. Is there any other?
How does everybody feel about the number, the quantity of council members that are, I mean, nine councilors, eight mayor? How do you feel about that quantity? I mean, how do you feel about six wards, you know? Does anybody feel like that's a big number?
They're big wards.
Eight wards.
They're very big wards.
I think with this, it went to the six and two at large. So you said eight.
I'm always used to seeing odd numbers.
I mean, that is recommended by the league and by others, because then you don't have ties.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless somebody's gone, but.
You know, you can't get it though, because the school board's the same way, six members. And then they want to either five or seven, and they could never resolve it to what's the number gonna be, so there was never a resolution to send forward.
And the mayor does get the tie, you know, tiebreaker.
There is a tie.
Right, and that's one of his kind of big things that he has, is the veto and the tiebreaker. So you take a little, even less power away from the mayor.
Because it is a strong council, weak mayor system. So the mayor is not involved unless the council is divided equally.
The only reason I ask is, I've worked in smaller cities with the same number as what you have here, and I've worked in smaller cities that, of course, have quite a few less. And I've also worked with counties that have six-member boards, and I worked in a county that had a 28-member board. And if you want to see a nightmare in taking care of business, go to a 28-member county board meeting sometime. That's a real barrel of monkeys there.
It's, I don't know, in my experience, it ain't very often that you see a tie down here. Very rarely.
I know over the years you guys passed a lot of things unanimously, so, I mean, it's.
You know, there's a lot of debate at the Ways and Means with them, and, you know, there could be a nay vote at Ways and Means, but they come to the council and they vote in favor of it.
And that's where my theory is, it comes out of Ways and Means, it should be, you know, it may not be unanimous, but when it does come to council, it should be unanimous. I mean, that's the way the system should work. That's where we lack in filling a spot, because nobody wants to change their mind in this particular instance, when most of the time when you go to Ways and Means about whether you're for it or against it, you still vote against, you know, for it when it comes there, because the supermajority wants it. I mean, that's the way I see how it works or whatever.
That's where sort of the majority rules is coming out of Ways and Means. If you know you're going to lose, then you just step down and you can say, I don't agree with it, yeah, but I'm going to vote for it. We've heard that a bunch of times.
We have a lot of wards, but I've read some charters, or I talked to somebody out of Fergus, and they have two people per ward, but they don't have as many wards. So then you don't have like us up in Ward 6 who loses one, then you still have one. You know, that would be the only thing, but then that involves changing all of this too, you know, and it's like, if it works and it's just a unique situation now, is it really worth changing or, you know, in that manner? But not a lot of people are wanting to step up and run for anything either. So if you were going to be with somebody in another ward, maybe it'd be more comfortable and more people would if it was two of you together. I don't know, but
well, in this like city's history is
interesting.
Most people view all of the council members as their representatives. You may designate this area as a 6 or this as a 3, but people say, well, hey, I'm in Ward 6, but I know the other council members are looking out for the city. Generally,
that's the way it's supposed to work, yes. Yes.
I mean, you're doing it all that way. I mean, you get people from all
right.
Complaints or whatever.
Well, I think you call who you're comfortable talking to, too, sometimes. Yep. It's not always your own ward.
I get a few from South Front that ain't in my ward, but years ago, South Front was in Ward 5. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just the way it is.
And when I get them too, I usually tell the person that I'm talking to that check with your councilman too. Now I'm at large over the whole city, but I was more than 6 for many years. You know, I get calls from all over, but I'll talk to your council person.
Is there any other? We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.